I'm joined now in the studio today with Marisa Berry Mendez, who is a member of the anti-FTAA coalition, the Free Trade Area of the Americas, who are meeting this week in Argentina. And there will be mobilizations taking place throughout Argentina and Latin America, and of course, up here throughout North America as well. So we're going to be discussing some of these mobilizations, but also the foundation behind them. Welcome to the program today, Marisa.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So let's start out with the raison d'être behind these demonstrations. They'll be taking place under an interesting banner of the FTA didn't go away, it just had babies. Can you talk about the FTAA, where it went, and who these babies are?
I think that the reason we've been emphasizing that sort of catchphrase is the fact that after a series of mobilizations that took place all over the Americas, including Canada, with Quebec City in 2001, all over the place, including in Montreal in 2002, after the sort of stalling and kind of breakdown of FTA negotiations that resulted in the continuation of these negotiations, but as a sort of FTA light, in quotations. People haven't heard about it so much. I think that the achievements of the resistance have been considerable, but, it's just kind of fizzled out. And so people aren't mobilizing around it, especially up here in the north. And it's really important to be aware of where it's gone, because what has actually happened is that after it became clear that all the terms that basically the U.S., who have been the promoters and sort of come up with the whole idea of the FTA in 1994, once they realized that all those terms weren't going to be going through, that all the countries in the Americas wouldn't be included in this free trade zone in one fell swoop, they decided that they'd have to go another route, and that's sort of the divide and conquer route. At the Organization of American States Summit in autumn of 2003, bilateral free trade agreements were first proposed by the United States. The big difference, I mean, it's a huge difference between the bilaterals and the FTAA. With the FTAA, such a mass project that, there were 10 years of negotiations, 11 now, which meant 10 or 11 years to sort of educate populations, to diffuse information, and to mobilize around it. Whereas with the bilaterals, they're trying to do it, as fast as possible, basically behind the backs of the people who will be affected by it, and as usual, sort of behind closed doors. The issue of the bilaterals first came up in 2003. The first one was signed with Chile, between the United States and Chile, on the 1st of January 2004. So it's really just a question of kind of breezing through with these. Right now, since then, bilaterals have been signed with all the Central American nations and the Dominican Republic. And right now, negotiations are in process with the Andean nations, Bolivia, Ecuador, Colombia, and Peru. And they were programmed to be negotiated and signed within about 4 months. But because the terms, the impositions are so harsh, and because the U.S. has been very intransigent, unmoving on things like agricultural subsidies, the negotiations have also stalled. But they're supposed to be signed by the end of this month. We're mobilizing around this, the Summit of the Americas, because the FTA is supposed to be signed there, although it will be sort of an FTA light. It's still not a pretty picture, but also especially to bring awareness to these bilaterals.
Mm-hmm. Now, the framework around free trade has obviously shifted a lot as a result of these babies, the bilaterals. It seems that we're kind of facing another issue altogether. Can you maybe talk about the some of the more specific dangers that these bilaterals would pose, and why communities throughout Latin America and South America would be in opposition to them?
Yeah, for sure. Well, we've already seen, the FTA, I'll go into the specifics. We already know the FTAA and agreements like NAFTA have really outlined the sort of devastating ramifications that these agreements can have on, especially on rural poor populations, but on just about every sector. of every sort of productive sector, especially in Latin American nations. But I mean, Canada has suffered from various investor-state disputes as well. Well, the famous Chapter 11 of NAFTA that allows for these investor-state disputes where, you know, corporations can sue governments for imposing labor conditions, minimum wages, or environmental laws and restrictions and whatnot. So we know, I mean, the FTA wasn't going to be great. It was going to be horrible. That's why we're all mobilizing against it. The bilaterals are that much worse because now you don't have the negotiating power of countries like Mexico, Brazil, Argentina, who have a lot of economic clout and whose reticence to move forward in the FTA negotiations were deciding factors in the stalling of FTA negotiations. So you don't have that bargaining power. I mean, the states negotiating with a country like Ecuador, what they bring, what a free trade agreement with a country like Ecuador will bring to the U.S. GDP is extremely insignificant. They don't have any bargaining power. So the terms that can be demanded and imposed are a lot more extreme. Issues of intellectual property rights are a really big deal. In Ecuador, there's going to be, proposed to be this law of biodiversity, which will allow for basically the privatization of areas that are very rich in biodiversity, including the Amazon region. I mean, lots of regions that are delineated as national parks in Ecuador will ultimately be up for pretty much privatization. And just sort of the language that they're using also about biodiversity, things like, you know, environmental services. And that allows also for the privatization, the commercialization of these things. So it's just a question of being able to go further in the bilaterals because each country, you know, they no longer have that sort of block negotiating power, but they're on their own.
Moving, I guess, a little bit to the opposition and to that resistance and the mobilizations happening throughout the hemisphere against the FTAA. You yourself, as an organizer, you've been intricately involved in not only the mobilizations happening here in Montreal and in Canada, but also throughout Latin America. You were mentioning before that you had been in Cuba while the FTA was having their summit in Quebec City. You've also worked in Ecuador. Can you tell our listeners a bit about your experience working with these movements in Latin America and what the FTA has come to mean on the ground to people in these places?
Yeah, I can speak mostly in terms of my experience living in Ecuador, working with the Peasant Federation there. While I was there, the Summit of the Americas in fall of 2003 occurred, where the shift of the focus went kind of from the FTA to the bilaterals. And social movements like the Peasant Federation, the indigenous movement in Ecuador, kind of realized that this is what they had to mobilize around. But it was a huge challenge because while, you know, mobilizing resistance to the FTAA had been so fruitful, there were still a lot of challenges. A lot of people, you know, in the community bases still didn't know what the FTA was. The question of sort of popular education and access to information was still a big one. And now the focus was shifting to the bilaterals. And it was like a whole other struggle because whereas with FTAA, you had this international solidarity and you could have these really strong networks and everybody was under it and everybody could kind of tap into the idea of how their population would be affected. With the bilaterals, you know, they're all on their own and new campaigns of information had to be spread. It was really scary just because it's also much more of a menace. I mean, I don't know much more, but it's as I said before, that much worse with all these specifications, basically selling away any natural resources or, you know, labor. And I mean, in Ecuador, the acronym for FTA, Free Trade Agreement, is TLC. And we would say Tratando de Liquidar Campesinos, which means trying to liquidate peasants, because that is ultimately what the ramifications of the bilateral will be in a country like Ecuador with a lot of rural agricultural workers. What we started doing basically was trying to initiate campaigns of popular information. On April 17th, the International Day of Peasant Struggles, we had the first mobilization against the bilateral free trade agreement in Ecuador, and went trying to create links of solidarity with Peru, Colombia, Bolivia, because those countries, they're all in the negotiations together. Right now, since I've left, the campaign has continued. There's a campaign in Ecuador specifically called Ecuador Decide. The idea is to create a constituent assembly that will make the decision about whether the bilateral should pass rather than the government's Congress, which is obviously dominated generally by elites who are willing to let these things go through. And there have been huge mobilizations. The first, we had the one in Ecuador in April 15th of 2004. But the opening of the negotiations of the Andean bilateral free trade agreements was May 15th of that year. And 300,000 people were out in the streets in Cartagena, in Colombia, where they were taking place. Since then, there were supposed to be something like five rounds of negotiations, something, you know, very short, about 4 months to sign the agreements. Since then, there have been 12. The 13th is going to be this month in Guayaquil, in Ecuador. Supposedly, it's supposed to be the last one. There have been mobilizations around everyone. Even there was one in Arizona. The mobilizations were very small because in the United States, I think that there's a lot less awareness about the bilaterals. Around the Central American Free Trade Agreements, there were huge mobilizations all sort of winter and spring of this year. That's when, around the time when they were being signed, two people were killed by security forces in Guatemala in March. And since then, yeah, in the Andean regions, they keep mobilizing. I mean, it's an onward struggle.
Mm-hmm. And if we rewind to 4 years ago, just a 3-hour drive from here in Quebec City, we saw upwards to 100,000 people take to the streets when the leaders of these 34 nations that were making up the proposed FTA were meeting. We saw intense mobilizations met with an even more intense police and state repression, but still what many would describe as a blossoming movement against the FTA there. Can you talk just a little bit about what progresses this movement has made over the last few years? We'd like to think that even though the FTA is meeting in Argentina this week and that it's being pushed forward, something good has come out of all of this. Can you reflect a bit on that?
I think, I know that the huge mobilizations that took place in Quebec and 2002, things, you know, kept going strong. In 2002, we had something like 10,000 or 15,000 people in the streets here in Montreal mobilizing in solidarity with the demonstrations in Quito, in Ecuador, where there was an FTA ministerial taking place, and there were mobilizations all over the Americas at that time. There was a really amazing network of international solidarity that organized for that day. Since then, I think that, unfortunately, I feel like it's more sunk into the background because, those mobilizations were so successful and the FTA was stalled, you know, but it wasn't stopped. And, nobody's going to let things end right there. And so this other route of divide and conquer of the bilaterals has been found. So although I'd like to say that, you know, I feel like those were sort of the apex of the movement here in Canada. And so now that's what we're trying to do is rekindle that. And it is harder. It is a bigger challenge right now because Canada isn't directly implicated in these bilaterals yet. They're between the United States and individual countries. But contrary to the popular sort of myth of Canada, the benign neighbor to the north, Canada, of course, is really looking forward to following the trail blazed by the United States. Canada's already expressed interest in negotiating bilaterals with the Andean nations, with the Central American nations. With Chile, they already have a really strong sort of trading partner thing going on. And so in anticipation of our country's involvement in bilateral negotiations, we want to mobilize around this and just to start bringing that awareness and still saying, you know, the FTA was not okay with us and this is not okay with us either.
Now, this Friday, November the 4th, there's going to be demonstrations taking place here in Montreal that you've been organizing for along with a coalition of different groups. Can you talk a bit about this demonstration, this carnival that will be taking place on Friday?
Yeah, basically we wanted to have the most generalized sort of mobilization possible, which is why we want to have do it in the kind of in the note of a carnival against the FTAA. Just, you know, the reoccupation of public space, hopefully to reawaken people's consciousness that this is still a really important issue that hasn't gone away.
Mm-hmm. And can you tell us some of the details about what will be happening in this demonstration? I understand it's going to be quite a festive atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. This is the idea. We're meeting at 4 o'clock at Square Dorchester downtown, and there will be sort of a downtown circuit. People are encouraged to organize their own sort of theatrical pieces, circus kind of things, people to bring musical instruments and play music. All these sorts of, we want to have sort of the most creative possible atmosphere to sort of celebrate the resistance that we're putting up against this.
People are being encouraged to bring their bikes too.
Yeah, we're gonna open the carnival with a sort of vanguard of critical mass, a bike vanguard. So anybody's encouraged to come on their bike, okay, if they like.
So there you go. 4 o'clock this Friday, November the 4th, at Dorchester Square. Even though the FTA is meeting in Argentina and giving birth, there will be people out in the streets here in Montreal in solidarity with movements of resistance throughout the hemisphere. We've been speaking with Marisa Barry Mendez, an organizer here in Montreal working with the Anti-FTAA Coalition. Thank you for taking the time with us today, Marisa.
Thank you, Anne.